fun.
I belong to Jesus. I belong to Him.
Yes.
I belong to Jesus.
Welcome to Christian Life Magazine.
Page one of Christian Life Magazine is brought to you by Health Markets Insurance Agency. Choosing insurance is hard, but Lonnie Davison makes it easy. Health Markets Insurance Agency understands the unique insurance needs of individuals and families. Since 2010, Health Markets has helped enroll Americans in more than 1.1 million insurance policies. Their portfolio of plans includes more than 120 recognized and trusted insurance carriers. Finding the right insurance for your needs and budget has never been easier. Lonnie Davison is your local agent and can meet with you to provide independent guidance for your individual needs. To learn more about your insurance options, contact Lonnie Davison at 515-205-9052, healthmarkets.com/LDavison.
Hey everyone, this is Lynn Montgomery, and I want to welcome you to our show today here at Christian Life Magazine, 99.3 The Truth Network. And we are so excited about our guest. If you've listened to the spots that have been running all week, this is Rick. And Rick, tell me for sure, Prybill?
It is.
Okay,
Prybill.
I wanted to say it correctly because I was going in my back to my old school days saying, let's see, I before E except after C. And then if there is a vowel before the last one, the first one is long. So I was hoping I was right. So thank you very much for being our guest today. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm glad you invited me. I'm looking forward to sharing my message with your listeners today.
Well,
thank
and
you.
I'm excited. You wrote a book called Imagine God, and that grabbed me right away because I have a tremendous imagination, and when God said that He could give me exceeding and abundantly above all I could ever ask or think, I said, now, wait a minute, Lord, you know how big I can think. So did you ever come up with that same answer, and is that kind of what you were doing here when you wrote Imagine God?
Well, I came to realize a spiritual truth, and through it, which I'm looking forward to sharing with you, is how we're able to imagine God. And I have 21 different examples of doing that in the book, Imagine
right.
God by me, Rick Prybill. Yeah.
Right. And so tell me, how long did it take you to write this book?
Well, if you see it, the book's rather thin. But I'm a little embarrassed to tell you, it took me about 4.5 years to write it.
But, you know, that's okay. You were praying about it. God was giving you wisdom.
He did, and I was very meticulous about every word. I wanted every sentence to be a 90-mile-per-hour strike. I didn't want any fluff. I wanted it to be so easily readable, so that a child or an intellect alike could receive this message. And I believe it's a profound message. And so, hence why I took my time.
Well, I think it's wonderful, and I appreciated it very, very much. And let's talk a little bit about you before we get any further into the book. I know it said you grew up in Florida, and I can't find, are you still living in Florida today?
I am. I grew up in Central Florida, in Orlando, Florida.
Okay.
And Lynn, I know you're, you know, being a Christian network, I grew up in a Jewish family, raised Jewish, in Bar Mitzvah in Israel. I currently live in South Florida with my wife, Joyce, who I met in Trinidad. She's an island girl and East Indian descent from a Hindu Christian family. And together we have two children. And living in Boca Raton, Florida, in fact.
Okay, that's a lovely, lovely area. With things the way they are right now, according to the news media, is Florida really as bad as they're saying it is as far as the COVID-19?
Well, I'm being in South Florida, this is the region that's got hit the hardest. And I do know people who have been affected with the virus.
Okay.
But we still really don't, I think we don't, testing is still limited. So we don't really know everyone's running around fearful because no one really knows who has it, who doesn't.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
We're dealing with the same crisis that everyone else is dealing with
sure.
everywhere.
And I see, you know, of course, I don't like the news because it's usually all bad. So I have a blurb. I just ask Alexa every morning to give me the news highlights. And so she just tells me what I, you know, little pieces of things, and that's kind of what I go on. But as I have looked, it just had seemed to me that Florida had been hit kind of hard. And my husband has been gone 10 years, but when he was alive, we spent winters in Florida. And so I'm very familiar. We were about 45 miles northeast of Orlando. No, were we north? Anyway, it's a place called Mount Dora. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
And I do. I have.
Yeah. And I mean, we laugh about Mount Dora because there's no mountains there, but there's a very high hill.
That's right. Yeah.
So I have appreciated Florida for a long, long time. My parents had a place there and took us as children. And so, you know, it's just, it's lovely. It really is. So now, as you are a father and you are raising your children there, what do you think as far as the challenges? Now, again, I will ask these questions because I do not know the answers, but do you homeschool or do they go to public school?
They do go to public school.
Okay.
I mean, we happen to be in a nice area here. I mean, relative to other places.
Sure.
We take them to church regularly, and they're nice children. And so we feel fortunate.
Bless your heart.
They're growing up nicely. I know. It's tough today. There's so
it is.
Much
it is. Now,
pressure.
When they interact, well, again, my question is, do you interact with your parents?
Yes, I do. But they're dumbfounded as to how and why I believe what I do.
Sure, sure.
And so that's still a struggle. And for a long period of time, it's just so difficult for them that our conversations were very limited.
Mm-hmm.
But now my mother she has cancer and she's probably doesn't have a lot longer to live.
Mm.
And yeah, it's tough. So, you know, love and feelings transcends a lot of these things that you think are important for
Absolutely.
My parents. Judaism's been kind of a cultural thing.
Sure, sure.
And since we're on the subject, and you know, it happened. You know, you might want to know how I came to believe and accept Jesus.
That's on my list.
Yeah. Well, you know, I like everyone. We're born into sin. That is to say, we're born here on earth, separated from God. And I put my security in things that, as people do, everyone's different. For me, it was about making money. And I came to a period in my life where I put my money in a real estate venture, and I lost it all. Mm. And afterward, I felt so lost, like my identity and self-worth was, you know, associated with my ability to be successful. And I always
sure.
thought, man, you know, people who believed in God, it was just for a crutch, and it's because they weren't successful. Until it occurred to me that, you know, I was feeling all this pain because I lost my money. You know, and it's like the story of Samson. He put his strength was with his hair until it got cut. And then he became weak until, of course, he found God and, mm-hmm. and lived for that and became strong again and stronger for that.
Mm-hmm.
And that story is for all of us. For some people, maybe it's their athleticism. For others, it's their appearance. It's different things for different people. For me, it was making money. Now, when I lost it and became very uncomfortable, I was lost. I was looking for my self-worth and trying to figure what it's all about. I came to the conclusion that my discomfort was really and simply nothing more than a separation from God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how God brings us to him often. It's through being broken first.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we recalculate and reconsider things. And then I determined there was only one way to break that separation. And I accepted Jesus as was prophesied in the Old Testament, Isaiah 53, as being real.
Mm-hmm.
And then it all just started coming together. This is one of those things a lot of people want to see before they believe. This is this sure. is faith. This is you believe first and then you see.
Did someone individually?
That's what happened to me.
Yeah, did someone individually mm-hmm. present Jesus to you, Rick? How did that happen?
Well, I had experiences with various people. My wife is a very strong believer, and so that helped me to see things. And I saw joy in people who believed mm-hmm. because there's a comfort knowing that there's something greater outside above yourself that's taking care of things. You don't have to worry and bear the weight of pressure because we can't do it on our own.
Sure.
And, you know, here's reality, Lynn, as you know, we're all going to die, you know?
I yes.
mean, it's a fact. And the very best it can be is we die of old age with loved ones around us. That's the best it can be. So then you have to ask, well, then, you know, what's it all about?
Mm-hmm.
And I've determined that what it's about, it's about getting to know God mm-hmm. and get him to know him before it's too late. And I'm looking forward to share my message because I think I have a really great way to do that.
Sure.
And so, you know, there lies, you know, my thinking and why I'm, for me also, I became a believer first, but then I had a life-threatening situation, a heart attack.
I know,
attack,
I saw you had a heart attack, yeah.
And I survived it. I had quadruple bypass surgery. And in fact, the motivation for writing the book came while I was in recovery.
Mm.
That's when I determined, instead of living for self-satisfaction, for how I want to live, now I determined and decided how I wanted to die and how I want to go out.
Mm-hmm.
And because I have become aware of something that I haven't heard preached before, and I feel an urgent calling just to share it with as many people as possible.
Sure.
I believe it's God's will and my purpose. I think everyone has a book in them. I don't think I'm better than anybody else. I'm just somebody that figured out something, and now I'm highly motivated to share it.
And I think that's awesome. I do.
Thank you.
I can't believe, Rick, we're almost at the end of page one at Christian Life Magazine, and this is moving right along, but it's exciting to hear you. I love your testimony. I love hearing the story about you and how all this happened. And so then on page two, we're going to go a little bit more into the basics of, you know, what caused you to decide that you really needed to write it all down and present it in the way that you have, because this is a tremendous book. Okay, everybody, now remember, we're here at Christian Life Magazine, 99.3, the Truth Network, and we want you to come back to page two because you don't want to miss anything that Rick Freibel says. Okay, see you in a few.
Page two of Christian Life Magazine.
Page two of Christian Life Magazine is brought to you by the YMCA Supportive Housing Campus. The YMCA Supportive Housing Campus is leading the way, eliminating homelessness in Des Moines. It is the only housing program of its kind in America. The Y Supportive Housing Campus is not an emergency shelter or revolving door providing temporary help. The Y is permanent housing for 140 people transitioning from homelessness to a safe home with dignity, hope, and support. This one-of-a-kind program helps people learn to pay rent for their studio apartment while giving them access to services such as tutoring, care packages, and training. You can witness these blessed members of our community transform and blossom and smile. They are believing and hoping for something again. Homelessness is real. Their situation is real. Your help is needed. Please give your time or make a donation. Go to dmymca.org/housing and help today. Again, that's dmymca.org/housing.
Hi, everyone. This is Lynn Montgomery. Welcome back to page two of Christian Life Magazine here at 99.3 The Truth Network. And I want to tell you that we are so excited today to visit with Rick Freibel and talk about his book, Imagine God. Now, listen, if you're hearing something and you have a question, you want to, you know, text us or you want to call us, it's the Jim Bagby line, and it's 515-727-5842. And I'm going to try to keep doing that and giving that out so that if you need to call or talk to us, you will be able to do so. Hey, Rick, thanks for being here.
Sure. Thank you, Lynn.
I'm really, really glad because your book is so, you know, they talk about things being now, and your book, believe me, is a now book, because a lot of people in these days when it is, you know, full of fear, people's lives and hearts are full of fear. This book points to the answer. Oh, my goodness. Sorry about that. I have turned my phone off three times, and now maybe that time is really going to be turned off. I don't understand that. So anyway, when you wrote this book, you had no idea that, you know, COVID-19 was coming. You didn't know anything about that, but God did. And because God knew it, he had you all set up for this.
That's crossed my mind. I do. I think that it. I mean, now is the time people are searching. It's only a matter of time before one becomes broken and mm-hmm. they become lost mm-hmm. and they're looking for answers. But now with COVID-19, the idea of our mortality is in the forefront of our minds.
Sure.
And it's taken us away from our lives, and it doesn't discriminate. You know, it doesn't matter what country you're from.
Boy,
what age or gender, whatever. It's affecting all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for people who don't believe in God yet, they might think it would point to, well, how could there really be a God? Because why would he let this happen?
Mm-hmm.
But for the believer, he actually talks about this in the Bible. And you may have heard this already. I'll point to 2 Chronicles 7:13. And I'll paraphrase, God, he is in charge and control of the rain,
mm-hmm.
locusts,
mm-hmm.
and plagues. And all three of these things have happened this year.
Yes, but they have.
Plagues, and the King James Version refers to it as pestilence. That's very easy. That's defined as COVID-19. It's in the coronavirus. And God tells us, and I'll paraphrase, he wants us to turn away from our own pride or self-reliance and self-centeredness.
Mm-hmm.
He wants us to humble ourselves and center our lives on him.
Yes, he does.
And he's drawn us closer through this. I mean, he tells us. And with that in mind, would it be okay if I say a little prayer?
Lynn, oh, that we please,
join in
yes.
Would
totally appreciate that.
And your listeners can bow their head and join in and just meditate on this. Dear Lord, you make it clear that you're in control
mm-hmm.
of the pestilence we're dealing with today. And through coronavirus, you have our attention.
Yes.
Thank you for reminding us of your existence and for your desire for us to worship you.
Thank you, Lord.
Please, Lord, strengthen us with wisdom and with the courage to love you with our whole heart.
Thank you, Lord.
Soul, mind, and strength.
Thank you.
And please help us to love one another. In Jesus' name we pray.
That's a beautiful
Amen.
Prayer. Very beautiful, Rick. And you know, you say that statistics show that 23% of Christians have forsaken God entirely, and so many. But you know what? Again, you wrote that down. You had those things on this paper, and you had no clue that God was going to move across the entire world to get everybody's attention.
Yeah. You know, we're a lot more alike than we are different.
Mm-hmm.
Something
mm-hmm.
I think that your radio station likes to point to. And I would like to share my message on how we are all alike.
Yes. And that's something we're going to do on page 3, because I want you to have enough time to do that, because we're coming. I mean, this is flying by. This is really great. And, you know, I know that as a Jewish raised child, you have a lot of things in your heart and mind that I think probably as you met Jesus as your Savior, the light just came on and you began to see those things as, wow, that's what that meant.
Yes. In the ironic thing is it's so literal. And as we'll talk about with some of these things, is my message, you know, conveys in page three. It's when he says things in the Bible, it seems confusing. It did to me for such a long time. By the way, yes, 23% of Americans have forced one religion, and 36% of millennials worldwide. And the question is why? Mm-hmm. And I believe the answer to that is because the Word of God just doesn't resonate with us all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And because we're unable to identify with the Word and to relate to God. And I'm looking forward to page three because I'm going to share how that can be accomplished.
That's great.
And it's right in front of us, and it's all within us. We all have the ability because God did make us.
Yes.
He
I love that.
He designed us to have an intimate relationship with Him.
Yes.
So, yes, I'm looking forward to sharing that.
Okay, everyone. Now, remember, you come back for page three of Christian Life Magazine, and if you want to talk to Rick, if you want to talk to us, if you have a question, please call or text us at the Jim Bagby call or text line at 515-727-5842. And we want really to have you aware that we're here not just presenting Rick, but we're presenting Jesus and we're presenting the truth. That's the name of the network here, 99.3, the Truth Network. And that's what we stand on, the truth. And that's also what we try to portray here at Christian Life Magazine. And there is a monthly magazine that comes out, and you need to go to the website and look at that because there are some wonderful, wonderful truths that you can find out and read about in Christian Life Magazine. So again, the number to call here is 515-727-5842. We want to hear from you today with Rick Priebel, who wrote the book Imagine God. So come back and be with us for page three of Christian Life Magazine.
Page 3 of Christian Life Magazine.
Page 3 of Christian Life Magazine is brought to you by Dick and Betty Odegaard. You remember Dick and Betty Odegaard, the owners of the former Gertz House Gallery in Grimes, Iowa. The Odegaards were forced to close their 14-year-old business after being sued for discrimination for refusing to participate in a same-sex wedding. They continue to follow their faith in biblical truth by showing compassion for those trapped in the lies of same-sex attractions. With that, the Odegaards strongly support the works of Restored Hope Network, a spiritually filled organization of people that have been saved by their own repentance and the grace of God. They are the proof of the truth and are equipped to serve those who want to follow. Visit RestoredHopeNetwork.org for details.
Hey, everyone. This is Lynn Montgomery here with you at Christian Life Magazine. We're at page three already, and it's just been flying by because we have a wonderful guest who has been presenting a lot of truth here at 99.3, the Truth Network. And before we get started, I'm going to give you the talk and text line that you can call if you have a question, if you'd like to talk to Rick, and it's 515-727-5842. And with us today is Rick Priebel, author of Imagine God. We've been having some wonderful visits about his book and about him. And on page three, Rick, you're going to share some things with us that have been very close to your heart. And I know these are things that God wants you to speak. So please go ahead.
Yes. Thank you, Lynn. Yes. So how did God design us so that we can have an intimate relationship with Him? Okay. The same similar way we make computers, we make hardware, and we program it with software, God created us in body and in spirit. And that spirit is what reflects His image. So I've made the connection between our emotions and God's spirit. And through our emotional responses to life experiences, which we all share in common,
mm-hmm.
is how we're able to relate to and develop a personal relationship with God. And I have 21 examples in the book, and I'll share with you two examples for people to understand how this works. First, we know God is against people violating the Ten Commandments, right?
Yes.
If you would, Lynn, I'd like for you to reflect on a time when you were a victim of someone who violated one of the commandments.
Could you repeat that, Rick? Repeat that.
If you would, to now reflect on a time when you personally were a victim of someone who violated one of the commandments.
Okay.
Let's say someone you knew and trusted stole from you or cheated you. Okay. How did that make you feel?
I know what you're saying, and I've had pretty much almost every kind of thing happen that you could ever imagine. I'll be 77 next month, and yeah. I really experienced about every kind of rejection and attack and, you know, everything there is out there. And I know that you feel violated, and you feel...
Exactly.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Just betrayed, disappointed.
Very.
Right. Do you agree that all of us get that feeling when it happens?
Yes.
The evidence, we're all made in the image of God. So my question is, why is it that we get that feeling upon that life experience? Is that a coincidence?
I don't think so.
Or is that by God's design? And that's what's been missed, that's what makes this book unique. We hone in on the unique individual emotional responses to 21 different life experiences. Okay, and it's by that feeling, that's simply how we know God rejects that behavior. He wants us to have that feeling. That's by his design. That's how we understand that it's a no-no, you know? And I'll just give you one more example, something conversely that might make you feel good.
Okay.
Let's see how God would welcome it. Let's say you and Ron come into the studio for a meeting, and you're running a little late. Maybe you had a doctor's appointment or something. So as you enter into the building, all of a sudden you overhear the boss of the network and the owners and a couple of your colleagues, maybe even some customers that are in the next room, and they're unaware you've just arrived. And you overhear them talking about you. So now what? Your interest is piqued. You're probably curious to know what they're going to say. You're interested to know how they really feel about you. And this is what you hear them saying. Wow, that Lynn, I really love her when she's around. I miss her when she's not here. Her and Ron put together such a wonderful show. We have such great reviews with all the interviews they do. And, you know, Lynn's just the type of person, she always does what she says she's going to do. Man, I wish we could clone her. By the way, did you see how well her and Ron handled that interview yesterday? Wow. By the way, I hope they got time for lunch today. Hey, anyone know what Lynn and Ron's doing for lunch today?
Bless your heart.
How does that feel? Yeah, how does that feel to be valued and praised?
Oh, I'm loving it. I'm loving it.
Yeah, and that's how God designed us, so we can imagine him, how we can imagine God, and how he appreciates when we value and praise him.
So when it says we're created for his pleasure, that's one of the ways that we give him pleasure.
Yeah, and how we're able to relate to him and develop a personal relationship with him is through that emotional response, because we're made in his image. So we're always able to take whatever life experience and imagine God.
Yes.
Lynn, I've only scratched the surface with 21 examples. You have done this. I mean, I've been pondering this for a long time now, so relative to everyone else who's listening to this for the first time.
Sure.
But there's so much to share, what we can learn about God. It's almost infinite. And I I'm going to take a risk by telling you that it's almost like you don't have to go to church to learn about God. Now, I know that people up to now, it's like the only way to know God is through what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. And I agree, the Bible's true.
Mm-hmm.
It's written by man, but inspired by God. And I'm suggesting we do both. And
yes.
Every one of my 21 examples is supported with Scripture, mm-hmm. which is easy to do.
Sure.
Because it's true, the premise that I'm talking about through emotional responses. And I would point to Abraham, who we know is the patriarch of religion, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. God said Abraham was a friend. He had favor with him.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time of Abraham, there was no Bible, was there? And there was no organized church.
Right.
So how did Abraham figure it out?
I think
blessed is a man with blessed is a man with a pure heart,
mm-hmm.
for he shall see God.
God. Yes, yes.
And the reason Abraham could see God, I believe, is because he exists within all of us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When you see it through this lens of how we're made in his image.
Yes.
And Luke 17:21 tells us the kingdom of God is within you.
Yes.
And
yes.
I believe that there was a disconnect at the time of Abraham, of Adam's fall from the garden.
Bless your heart.
I believe this is amending this disconnect. This is like a lens to see more clearly.
You know,
and you know, a lot of us suffer with unwanted feelings.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about, you know, betrayal and feeling violated. And
right.
A lot of people are stuck, as we all have to, as you said yourself, you've experienced so much. We all have,
mm-hmm.
because I think God wants us to. And if we can translate or transfer those feelings in a way to then learn to relate to God through it,
mm-hmm.
then mm-hmm. the experience that we encountered perhaps makes sense for his purpose.
Sure.
And
sure.
The thing is God gives us all kinds of time to do it because he gives us memory.
Yes,
so
he does.
So we get to relive the unwanted feelings and all these experiences, good and bad,
mm-hmm,
repeatedly,
mm-hmm.
so we can consistently and continually develop that personal relationship with him.
Absolutely.
And what do you think about that?
I think that's what you have presented in your book. That's why Imagine God is such a wonderful, timely now book for people to read, because that's what you're presenting. And I sit on the board of a nonprofit called The Bond of Unity, and we always like to let people know the ways we're alike instead of the ways that we're different, because we believe that that's how God shows each one of us how much he loves us no matter what we're like. He just loves us. So, my goodness, we're at the end of page 3 already. Rick, this is flying by. I want to tell you guys, listen, if you need to call or text us, please do at 515-727-5842 here at Christian Life Magazine. Come back now for page 4 with Rick Priebel, who wrote Imagine God.
Welcome to Christian Life Magazine with your host, Chris Rose.
Hey, everyone. Guess what? It is not Chris Rose. This is Lynn Montgomery here at Christian Life Magazine, and we're at page 4. And page 4 is brought to you today by Modern Floor Covering in Oskaloosa, Iowa. They're located at 215 Highway 432, and their phone number is 641-672-2303. Modern Floor Covering has tremendous things for you, and they cover a lot of areas. They sell carpet, vinyl, laminate, wood, ceramic, rugs, and much more. And they'll sit down with you and make a plan. They have time to look at you as an individual and make sure that what they're doing is what you want. They've been in business since 1983. And remember now, Modern Floor Covering at 215 Highway 432, Oskaloosa, Iowa. And the number you call is 641-672-2303. And we're back here at page 4, Christian Life Magazine on 99.3 The Truth Network. And we have with us our wonderful guest, Rick Preibel, who wrote the book Imagine God. Rick, I am really thrilled that you're a part of us today and hope that, you know, we can stay connected. And perhaps, are you thinking about writing another book?
I have something else to write on, yeah. Actually, a few things, but I'm working on, I have an interpretation of the parable of the Good Samaritan. I pondered significantly, and it's something. I can't wait to share it with you sometime.
Oh, that would be great.
It's a different and deeper meaning.
Sure.
I can answer for the meaning of the two silver coins and how it circles back to why the premise of how to gain eternal life, the premise of the whole parable is based on.
I think it's going to, I will pray that, you know, God pours that through you soon and that you get it all down on paper. And then we can have you back on the show to talk about it. You know, I was thinking about something that you said about the Garden of Eden and Adam and, you know, there. And God showed me, this is interesting, so many things that you say, God has spoken to my heart almost exactly in the same way. But he showed me that when Adam was in the garden, there was a mind meld between God and Adam. They didn't really even have to have an open conversation because their minds were connected. And when the knowledge of good and evil entered into the mind of Adam, it severed that connection. And the immediate thing that happened was that he got afraid. He went and hid himself. He began to judge God and what God was doing as either good or evil. And his heart said, oh, I'm naked, so God's going to be mad at me. You know, these are the things that the immediate problem that happened in the mind of man when that knowledge of good and evil entered in. Because you know what? We were never supposed to have that. We were never supposed to have that. All we were supposed to ever have is that God loves us and he's working everything together for good. And we need to come back to that. Don't you think, Rick?
Yes, and I actually, through our emotional responses, can give you a way to identify with how God viewed that whole thing, if you want to hear it real quick.
Oh, yeah, please. Yes, please.
Okay, and I'll try and make it quick. So, do you have children, Lynn?
I do. I have 4 sons, grown sons.
Okay, great. So, let's say, in more modern times now, we have, you know, computers and phones, and let's say your son is, you know, he's younger and he's on his phone. You want to lights out at 9:30 at night. Mm-hmm. You're like, son, no more playing on the phone. Put the computer down. Lights out. Be in bed at 9:30. You got a big day tomorrow.
Sure.
Now let's say you wake up at midnight because the air conditioning doesn't seem right for whatever reason. You got up and you all of a sudden you see a light in the crack of his door and you go over there and you peek and you see him playing on his phone or his iPad. Wow. So, okay, you say to yourself, well, I'll deal with that in the morning. Go back to bed. The morning comes, he comes to your sons. Now, I'm going to give you 2 examples.
Okay.
Let's see which one and how we can relate to this. The first example. Son, I noticed your light was on. Were you on your computer? Is there anything you want to tell me? Yeah, Ma, I was on my computer. Just please get off my case. You know, you gave me the iPad, and I decided, man, you know— And that's what it's for. You gave it to me, so I used it. You know, what's the big deal? Well, okay, you have emotional response with that, right? You're probably not feeling warm and fuzzy right now with how that's dealt with. You certainly discipline's in order and even some separation because you're like fuming a little bit probably, right? Let's compare it to the second example. You come to your son's room, you know, in the morning. Son, I saw your light on, and is there anything you want to tell me? Were you on your iPad? By chance, you know, Mom, I was, and I feel so bad about it because you told me not to. But I want you to know that I just couldn't sleep, and I had such a splitting headache. And there's one game on there, and it just makes me lethargic. I felt so guilty, but I did it, and I want you to know I'm sorry. And I just don't even, can you please forgive me, Mom? I don't, you know, I feel so bad. In that example, you see where his heart's at, and you see, right? You almost could forgive him, right?
Sure.
Would you see the difference in examples?
Absolutely, yes.
And God wants us to be the latter.
Yes.
He wants us to repent of our sins. We have a just God, okay? But we also, more importantly, we have a forgiving God.
Mm-hmm.
And he's ready to forgive. And he just wants us to be obedient, the same way we want our own children to obey us,
yes.
to delight in us.
And, yes.
and it's the same thing. That's how we can imagine God and make sense of that. So we have an understanding with our children. They know what's right and what's wrong. And that's probably the same way you initially described the relationship Adam had with God
mm-hmm.
until
mm-hmm.
evil came in and his own selfish, self-serving interests came
sure.
ahead of God.
Sure.
And he did what he wanted instead of what God wanted.
I got you.
You know, there can only be one parent, and we only have one God.
Okay,
you know,
Rick. Hey, we're coming. I can't believe that we're coming to the end of page four. But before we get any further into this, I want you to let everyone know how they can get your book. Please let everyone know.
Sure. Well, I have a website called ImagineGodBooks.com. You can reach me through it. You can order the book. There's a link through it. It's available on Amazon,
okay.
Barnes & Noble, and iTunes. Imagine God by Rick Prybell
okay.
is the book.
And this is an actual paper book, not an ebook?
I have a hard copy, a paperback, and an ebook. And
okay.
I have a very special cover design on a photograph I took, and I don't know if you picked up on that. Did you see that?
Your picture?
And then you can see it on my website. And you, if you go to order books, there's the cover.
Oh, yes, I saw that. But you also have
a special photograph.
You also said that there was a real significance in the picture, in your picture. Can you just real quickly share that?
Well, I took it the morning after reading the second chapter of Luke, where Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, had a prophecy of the coming of the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the prophecy, and you can read it for yourself, second chapter of Luke, it says, by which the rising sun will come to us in darkness to create a path before our feet.
Mm-hmm.
The next morning, I woke up, and I was at a hotel in business, and I drew the drapes open. I woke up earlier than normal, and the sunrise was coming at me. It seemed almost audible. Grabbed my cell phone and took a picture of it.
Oh,
and that's
wow.
the picture that's on the cover. But what's interesting is how that it also, if you look at what's described in Jesus' baptism in the book of Mark,
mm-hmm.
what people witnessed, it looks like that. I talk about this in the end of the book. And then the third component, which is how that image actually lines up to the crucifix.
Sure.
Did you see that on the back cover, Lynn?
Yeah. The whole thing, Rick, honestly, this entire book, as far as I'm concerned, points to all the different ways that Jesus Christ is there for us and that we can identify with him. You bring all of that together, and it just is such a blessing.
Thank you. And just for your audience to know, and the reason it took me so long to write is you can read this in less than an hour, cost
mm-hmm.
you less than $10.
Mm-hmm.
And I promise you, I can assure you that if you're open to your thoughts and feelings when you read this book,
mm-hmm.
it will take you on a journey, and you will end up knowing that in finding yourself closer to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's
the
value.
That is, and again, folks listening, this is Rick Prybe. I've been so privileged and blessed to have him as our guest here today. And God is giving Rick another book, and he's already made a commitment that he'll come back and be a guest again when he gets that book. So, Rick, please keep the information about us here at Christian Life Magazine so you can let us know when that is available, and we'll have you come back. So everybody, listen, we're all at the end. I can't believe this. This has flown by, as it always does. We have such a good time here at Christian Life Magazine. And so the end of page four is upon us. I want you to know that we're so privileged to have been here, but also to have you listen. And we want you to come back next week. We're going to have David Burrier with us here, who has also written a book that's called The String Thing. And David is a local boy, so we're going to be talking to you about that. You're going to hear it talked about this week. So remember, Christian Life Magazine, here at 99.3 The Truth Network.